Well, good morning, everybody. How do you like this weather? Isn't it great? It's great. Well, way to go. Way to join us here together. That was great singing. I'm standing back there, and wow, it's wonderful to sing with you this morning. All right, well, let's grab our Bibles. We're going to go to Daniel again, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1. We've been looking at this teenager, 17 years old, in the ancient world, and how he had some pretty impressive adventures in faith. And what we're trying to glean from this book is that sometimes God does pretty adventurous things in our life too, doesn't he? As followers of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of things that we didn't see coming, and a lot of things that we deal with that we didn't know we'd ever have to deal with. And that's the life of Daniel. So we've been looking at Daniel, and we've been asking some pretty straightforward questions. Chapter 1, I have subtitled Living a Life of Courage, because Daniel needed courage. And in chapter 1, we have been asking several questions about courage. One, we asked, do we have the courage to do what's right, even when our name or reputation takes a hit? Daniel had to learn that lesson if he was going to be effective and influential for God. We asked another question, do we have the courage to pursue God and to trust him even when all that is precious to us is stripped away? That's a tough question. Do we have the courage? We then saw, do we have the courage to remain undefiled even when it's easier to compromise? Daniel had to choose. Was he going to stand for God and not let the culture around him defile him, or was he going to compromise? He had to learn that lesson. Last week, being Mother's Day, we kind of looked at the ingredients that Daniel had in his life, and we asked the questions, do we have the courage to raise kids who have uncommon standards? Well, this morning we have another challenging question from the first chapter. Next week we're going to finish up chapter 1, and then we'll move into chapter 2. We're going to talk about a life of influence. But this morning we're going to ask ourselves the question, do we have the courage to work hard to become all God intends us to be? Do I have the courage to work hard to be all God intends for me to be? We're going to look, let's look in Daniel chapter 1, and let's look down there toward the end of the chapter, and let's look in verse 18. It says, at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar, talking about all of these young men that came from captive, from the captive Israel, Judah. And it says, the king talked with them. Now, we know historically, remember, Nebuchadnezzar came down into Israel and captured southern Israel and brought 50 to 70 of the smartest and brightest young men back to Babylon and trained them for 3 years. And now he's interviewing them at the end of the 3 years to see which ones will stand out in order to serve in his personal court. So in verse 19, the king talked with all of them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them to be 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. This is impressive. 10 times better than not only the 50 to 75 Israelites who came into captivity, but anybody else that was in the king's realm. So I had to ask myself the question, wow, how did these guys do that? I mean, if we go back to verse 4 just for a moment, it describes, in verse 3 and verse 4, it describes the life of Daniel before captivity. Look what it says. It says, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the king of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. When Daniel was a young boy, his life trajectory was incredible. He was born into a royal family. He was part of the nobility of Israel. And his life trajectory was unparalleled. He was heading for the stars. Verse 4, it says, in youths in whom there's no defect and who were good looking. showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom and endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability to serve in the king's court. I mean, Daniel not only was born into nobility, he was a prestigious, intelligent, good-looking young man. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, now they're talking about your pastor. Now, yeah, right? Okay, his trajectory, that's not true. His trajectory in life was going skyward. There's nothing that's going to hinder Daniel from having the most incredible life. Until Nebuchadnezzar showed up. And then the trajectory of his life went down. He's taken captive. He's no longer nobility. Most likely he left his family behind. As he comes into the king's court, most likely he's transformed into a eunuch, so his personal family line is done. He's forced. At the end of verse 4, it says, in order to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. He's in a foreign land, surrounded by spiritual enemies, and he's being forced to inundate himself with a culture that hates God. Trajectory. Now watch this. Somehow Daniel was 10 times better than everyone else. And he did it for 70 years. So the question that just bugged me as I was studying this chapter is I understand that, man, when things are given to you and you're talented and you're in a good spot, it's awesome to have this. And sometimes life changes the trajectory of your course and it sends you down here. And sometimes when we get down here, it's easy to stay down here. But Daniel did something. There was something in about him that didn't let him settle for this. He wanted to go there. And so I've been scouring through chapter 1, trying to discover not what made Daniel go from here to there, because that was beyond his control. That was because of King Nebuchadnezzar. What made Daniel go from here to there? I don't know about you, but I don't want to end my life down here. I want it to be said of me that he was 10 times better than the other people that were down there. Not because it's a prideful thing, but just because I don't think God intended Daniel to stay down here. And Daniel, sitting in that Chaldean classroom, losing everything, must have been going through emotional turmoil. His family's gone. His own personal heritage is gone. His name dies with him. He's in a foreign land. It could have been so easy for him just to shut down emotionally, just to shut down intellectually and say, God, this is just too hard. It's too terrible. I don't want to do this anymore. And he could have just checked out and coasted for the rest of his life. But instead, there was something about him that took him back to the top. And that is what I've been trying to figure out. Because I know that sometimes in your life, the trajectory has been going like this, and life has thrown you a curve, and now the trajectory of your life has gone down to this. This week, we got an email as a staff from a family in our church who's just so discouraged. That there are things going on in their family and things going on in their finances, and they just desperately, can you just pray for us? The trajectory was going like this, and now the trajectory is going like this. Friday, called a gentleman in our church whose wife just passed away after illness at a young age. Trajectory. Yesterday, talked to another gal in our church who had to unplug the life support system for her son. Trajectory. What are we going to do? How do we get from there back to 10 times better? I think he tells us here. I think there are three key things that we see in this chapter that can help us, if we're willing to work hard, to become all that God intends for us to be. Because I hope you agree that when we get down in our trajectory, this is not where God wants us to stay. This is not where God wants us to learn to live. He doesn't want us to give up. He doesn't want us to check out. He wants us to somehow figure it out and rise above and get back to being a person of courage and influence like Daniel could be. There's three simple things that I see. Number one, we see it there in verse 4. We find out that everything that was familiar to Daniel is stripped away, and he's forced to learn a new culture. But if we look there again in verse 4, we can see that he had personal capacities. He had some good things going for him. He was physically talented. He was intellectually talented. It says intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge. We talked about this last week. How do we raise kids that not only are good learners, but they're also understanding how to use knowledge to life? Daniel had some capacities, some born capacities. You this morning have some capacities, have some gifts and talents in your life that you were born with. And God intentionally, get this, intentionally put into your life and into my life talents and abilities because he knew that life situations would need those talents and abilities, so he put them into our life. So when you and I are facing a downward trajectory and we're trying to get out of it and ask God to help us to be influential and courageous in the midst of this, he's already put inside of you the abilities and the talents to make you successful and to be 10 times better. Daniel had natural capacities. There's two of them. His aptitudes. He had intelligence. He could learn. He had wisdom. And you have aptitudes. You have natural inbred abilities that God put there. One of our favorite verses is Psalm 139, simply says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secrets and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were written the days that were ordained for me, yet there was not one of them." God knows two things about you before you're even born. Number one, he knows the days and the life situations you're going to face. And he put into your life when you were in your mother's womb the capacities to help you be successful in those days. That's how you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God is smart enough to know the trajectories of life, the situations that you're going to face, and he puts inside of you gifts and talents and abilities to help you to be successful in what he's called you to do and to be. Daniel discovered his personal capacities. If I were to ask you today, what are your personal aptitudes? Could you identify them? Second of all, Daniel had spiritual giftings. We see there that God gave Daniel very specific spiritual gifts. In Daniel's case, it was that he had the ability to understand dreams and visions. So not only did he have personal capacities of learning and discernment, but he also had spiritual giftings of knowing how to interpret dreams and visions. So God gave Daniel the ability to not only identify his personal capacities, but Daniel also could identify his spiritual giftings. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts in the life of believers. You have a spiritual gift mix. It tells us that each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not just some people. What does it say? But to what? Each one. Point at your neighbor and say, you have a gift. You have a gift mix. And it's our job to figure out, okay, God, I understand some natural born abilities that you've given to me. And now, Lord, I also want to understand what are the spiritual giftings that you gave to me. It says there in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another through the word of knowledge. These are some of the gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, another faith, another gifts of healing, so on and so forth. And you go down there to verse 11, and it says, but one and the same Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each one who? Individually, as he wills. You not only have natural born abilities and talents that God put into your life in your mother's womb, but you also have spiritual giftings that the Lord has put into your life. And the combination of your natural abilities and talents and your spiritual gifts are the ingredients to make you successful, to move from the downward trajectory and to turn it up to be 10 times better than anyone else. Can we identify this? I wrote down this week, if you don't know how God made you, how can you know what God made you for? If you don't know how God made you, how can you know what God made you for? Daniel somehow understood how God made him so that he could understand what God made him for. He somehow had that grasp, his personal capacities. Then second of all, in Daniel chapter 1, it says in verse 4, and he ordered him, this is the commander of the officials, Nebuchadnezzar ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The second thing that Daniel had to do was just the hard work of learning. In 3 years, Daniel had to learn the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. Now, this might sound pretty simple, except historians tell us that the Chaldeans actually had three different languages. They had the legal language that they used in all of their documents and in their legal system. They had the common language that people spoke amongst themselves. And then they had the scientific and religious language that had its own vocabulary and vernacular dialect. So Daniel, in 3 years, had to actually learn three different dialects, and he had to learn all about the astrology and the astronomy and the science and the religious incantations and all of the history of the Chaldeans. He had to go to school full-time, intensive, for 3 years. And you know what Daniel decided to do? He decided to learn. That he was going to become an expert and expand himself. Again, when Daniel was taken into captivity, the trajectory of his life went down. And he could have simply said, well, you know what? In this new system of life, in this new arena of life, I'm just going to become average. And I'm just going to serve somewhere in the king's system. And I'm just going to become anonymous. And I'm just going to serve my God. But as far as culture is concerned, I'm going to check out. Daniel decided, no, I'm going to expand myself. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn the literature, the culture, and the language of the Chaldeans. Daniel understood from Proverbs that the mind of the man plans his way, but the Lord, what? Directs his steps. The trajectory of his young life, I'm sure that Daniel had, as a 17-year-old noble, big plans. Maybe who he was going to marry and where he was going to live and the influence he was going to have in his culture. And within just a couple of short months, boom, Daniel understood the principle. I didn't expect to get here. I expected to go there, but God is in control of the trajectory of my life, and I'm here. So while I'm here, I have a choice. Either give up and check out, or I can expand myself so that God can use a new trajectory in my life. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are in the same place in life that you were 10 years ago? 2007. Hey, 2007, things were going gangbuster in our economy. 2007, you had a trajectory in your life financially or in your home. Things were sweet. And then all of a sudden, things turned sour in the market. And where you were in 2007 and where you are today may be radically different. And you may have found yourself in a series of struggles, in a series of issues. Perhaps you went from employment to retirement. Perhaps you went from kids to empty nesters. Perhaps you went from healthy to sick. Perhaps you went from financially secure to financially bankrupt. Perhaps you went from this place to that place. Perhaps you went from healthy relationships to hurtful relationships. Perhaps you went from marriage to divorce. Perhaps you went to singleness to marriage, and now you're in the pit of marriage, you know, and you're just down there, and you're like, wow, my life was like this, and now it's like this. You may have thought your life is always going to go like this, but guess what? The Lord directs the steps. Some of you, what you're carrying today, you never thought you'd carry. Some of the hurt and the pain. And there's a temptation just to say, you know what? I'm just going to check out and cruise. Because I'm so disappointed in what I'm carrying now compared to what I was carrying 10 years ago. But Daniel realized that God directs the steps. Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, when you're down here in this part of your life experience, guess what? You can handle it. You can handle it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can handle it because we're told that no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God gives you the strength to work through it. But we have to learn. Hey, are you dealing with something you've never dealt with in the past? Let me encourage you to become an expert in that. Learn how to handle aging parents. Learn how to handle retirement. Learn how to handle sickness. How to handle disappointment. How to handle adult kids. How to handle marriage. How to handle finances. Don't just stay in the pit. Daniel was sitting in that Chaldean classroom, emotionally devastated, physically altered, despaired about his future, and he decided he was not going to give up. He was going to see that this was part of God's overall plan, and he was going to expand his self and learn so that God could use him to go back this way. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, become an expert in how to deal with that. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We have a choice down here in the difficulties of life. We can just coast and feel sorry for ourselves and take the hurt and the pain and let it bury us. Or we can somehow choose what Daniel chose, to expand himself, to learn how to carry the difficult things of life and still be successful in God's eyes. Daniel determined to learn. He was taught for 3 intensive years. He expanded himself. Second of all, we see that Daniel determined to be hardworking. Daniel takes initiative. Daniel is forward-thinking. Daniel prepares in advance for his future. He's learned three languages. He's learned new science. He's learned a whole new religious system. He's learned a legal system. He learned all of that in 3 years because he was determined that this trajectory in life wasn't going to define his future. And he determined to learn, and he determined to work hard at learning. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, your poverty will come like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. You will be overcome by need because when I'm down here in the difficulties of life, I give up and I stop working hard to be what God wants me to be. And then my poverty is going to overrun me like an armed man. Chapter 12, verse 11, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. I can, again, struggle, and I can stay in my struggle, and it can become the identifying mark of my life, or I can learn and work hard at coming out of it so that God can put me on a new trajectory. And finally, in chapter 14 and verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I don't want to just talk about what I want God to do in my life. I want to learn. What natural capacity has God put in your life? What spiritual gifting has he put in your life? And have you become an expert in those things? I don't have to become an expert in all things because God didn't gift me with all things. But the one or two or three capacities and giftings that God has put into your life, become an expert in those things so that you can learn how to rise above the trajectory that you've been in and rise for God and be like Daniel. So we have personal capacities and we have spiritual giftings, the determination to learn. And then finally, number three, what we see in Daniel is we have divine assistance. Look there in verse 17. It says, as for these four youths, talking about Daniel and his three friends, watch this very carefully, God gave them. Did you catch that? God gave them knowledge and intelligence and wisdom, in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. So the third ingredient in becoming all that God wants me to be, the first ingredient is understanding my capacities, my abilities, my giftings from God. Second ingredient is to work hard at becoming an expert in those things or learning how to deal with the situations that God has put in front of me. And the third is a divine assistance that comes. God's going to help you. He's not going to just leave you down here to figure it out on your own. He's going to do two things for you that we see here in Daniel. Number one, there is going to be God divinely opened doors. God gave them knowledge and wisdom. God helped them succeed in the Chaldean school. There's not just that he had the capacity and he worked hard at it. Yes, those are important, but there's also this third ingredient that God's going to help you. He's going to open doors for you that maybe you could never open on your own. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. God's going to do it. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, this is Paul writing, this is so good, praying at the same time for us as well. Paul and his team are asking for prayer. Why? That God will open up to us a door for the word. Hey, pray that God will open a way to get out of where we're at and to get on with what he's called us to do. God is in the habit of opening doors for his people. Verse 17, God gave them the ability to be 10 times better than everyone else around them. So God opens doors. And second of all, God grants favor. God grants favor. Verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the conjurers who were in all the realm. Verse 21, and Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king, which was 70 years later. God grants favor. Psalm 19, verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon you and confirm for us the works of our hands. Yes, confirm the works of our hands. We're saying, God, look, the trajectory of my life 10 years ago was this. But God, in the last couple of years, I have dealt with things I never thought I'd deal with, and they're hard. And instead of God just rescuing me out of this trajectory and putting me back on that trajectory, God's going to instead raise you up, and he's going to use your natural God-given abilities and giftings, and he's going to encourage you to work hard to expand yourself and to learn so that he can open new doors for you and he can grant favor for you so that you can be all that he intends for you to be. I thought maybe that God wanted my life to just be this, and what God really wanted was my life to go over here, and to get me from over here to over there, he had to teach me some things, and so he brought me down to there. And I have the choice just to sit here and to go into neutral. Or I can take my God-given abilities and talents and giftings. I can become an expert in the areas he's gifted me. And I can pray that he opens doors and he grants favor. And I can become all that he intends me to be. But let me tell you something, for Daniel, it was 3 years of incredible, intensive work. And Daniel was willing to work hard to retain that. Some questions to ponder as we close. Can you articulate your personal aptitudes and giftings? Have you improved your skills and abilities? Are you becoming an expert in anything? Are you expecting your future to be the same as your present situation? If not, what do you see coming? Are you preparing for that future? Are you expecting your career to be handed to you? Are you improving yourself to make yourself more marketable? How has God gifted you spiritually? Are you influencing others in their walk with God? Are you preparing yourself to be a person of influence, or are we just expecting it to happen? Daniel could have just cruised and felt sorry for himself the rest of his days. But instead, he said, you know what? This is where God has me, and I'm going to learn how to be successful where God has me, so that I can be all that he wants me to be. Are we willing to work hard to become all that God intends for us to be? That's a challenging question. And in Daniel's life, somehow he figured out the combination of those three things, and he was able to serve in a place of influence for 70 years. And I believe that God sometimes takes our trajectory differently than what we expected, because he's preparing us for some influential position in the future that we didn't see coming. But he, before we were born, put in the capacities for us to be successful there. And now he's training us on how to get there. The question is, do I want to work hard enough to be what he wants me to be? It's a challenging question. Next week, we're wrapping up this chapter by talking about verse 21. Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Are we willing to do these things for our entire life? That's another challenging question. And then 2 weeks from today, thankfully, we're moving into chapter 2. And we're getting away from these courageous challenges. And we're going to see some pretty unbelievable stuff in chapter 2 that talks about influence, living a life of influence. All of us want to live a life of influence. But sometimes we have to learn how to be courageous first before we can be put in a position of influence. And so that's why I believe in chapter 1, Daniel is revealing to us the ingredients of courage. And then in chapter 2, we see the position of influence. He did those two things sequentially on purpose because sometimes people want to have influence without courage. And in our culture today, just like in Daniel's culture, if we want influence, we've got to have courage. We've got to have the courage to do what's right. We've got to have the courage to trust God even when everything is stripped away. We've got to have the courage to remain undefiled when it's easy to compromise. We've got to have the courage to raise kids with uncommon standards. And we've got to have the courage to work hard even in the difficult times so that God can pull us out and put us on a new trajectory that we never planned. Let's stand together and pray. Lord Jesus, there are some here this morning that are just carrying a huge burden. One that maybe they never expected in life. And it's so easy just to pray and say, God, take this away and put me back on the old trajectory that was so good. But that's not your plan. What we're walking through is the steps that you have planned for us. And maybe the trajectory is not where you wanted us to finish, but you have a new trajectory for us. So help us not to just stay in the difficulties. Help us to realize that you're there with us. You've given us the capacity to deal with it. You've given us the gifting. Your presence is there. You're going to open doors. You're going to grant favor. And we just need to work hard at learning how to deal with the situations that we face. Give us the wisdom to look forward in life and to be forward thinking. Give us the strength and the courage to work hard to be all that you want us to be. Thank you for this lesson this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.